42. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 40 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning. We're ready to rock and roll here on the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, December 4th, 2 days prior to the SEC Championship game in Atlanta. I'm Gary Harris, your host. I got Chase Bromfield alongside manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. A little bit of housekeeping to catch you up on. I do a show out of Memphis from 8:30 till 9 every Thursday morning. And there's video. It's a multi-screen type of deal. But so I try to get in here early on Thursdays, and a lot of times I'm still pushing it. You know, I'm running up the stairs trying to get in for that show. But this morning, Chase, I left extra early. I left the house at 8 o'clock, thinking, well, I'll get here at 8:15. I'll get my lineup tweeted out. I'll get my camera set up. I'll be ready to go. Well, coming through downtown Tuscaloosa, there were absolutely no traffic lights working on Lurleen Wallace in the southbound lane. None. Either words, whether you were going vertically or coming across side street-wise, horizontally. So, there was one police officer that had arrived for one light about halfway through to keep it from backing up completely. Because what's happening is there's more traffic, of course, going on Lurleen Wallace, but the people that are coming across, they want to get across too. So, you know, you got to watch it. I mean, so it took me literally 15 minutes to get through downtown. And that was just to get down. And so I wound up getting here right at 8:30 anyway. So, but I'm here. We're ready to go. We got a good show on tap. Going to run it down here for you in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Find out more at alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And pull extra change in your pocket. All right. The availability report for Alabama, Georgia came out last night, and Bama fans are concerned, and rightfully so. I've been getting hit up on social media about LT Overton. What's wrong? I can't answer that question. LT Overton was at media availability following practice on Tuesday. Appeared to be 100%. Was talking about how excited he was to play in the game. You know, his dad, Milton, was an administrator here at Alabama. So he grew up going to SEC championship games as a kid. And he was really excited about playing in his first one. Last night, he was listed as out on the Alabama availability report. So they practiced yesterday. He did not appear to have any injury Tuesday after practice. And if he had been hurt, I don't think they would have him out there talking to the media. So something must have happened in practice yesterday. I have no idea what it was. They were in shells yesterday, which means there is some contact work going on. But that's all I know. Alabama, though, Cam Howard is also out. And Kevin Riley is still out, along with Jamarian Latham, who has been out for the season. Jeremiah Beeman out for the season. And Mal Waldrop Jr., freshman offensive lineman, also out for Alabama. Questionable, Jam Miller, Cam Dewberry, Josh Quavis, and Danny Lewis Jr. So Alabama is extremely banged up going into this game. There's no way around that. And running back-wise, if Jam can't go, you've got Daniel Hill, A.K. Deer, and Dre Washington. A.K. Deer, the freshman out of Quitman, Mississippi, I think is a terrific talent. I think the reason he has not played more has been the other things that come with playing running back. I think you get the ball in his hands, he could be electric. We may get to see that on Saturday. Also, the fact that Alabama, as the season got deeper, and, of course, don't want to forget about Richard Young. Yeah, he's available, too. But as the season got deeper, they just went to two running backs. They quit playing more than two running backs. So we didn't get to see a lot of these guys, but we may get to see them on Saturday. So Georgia's got some guys out, too. They don't have anybody listed as questionable, but the big name for Georgia is Drew Bobo, their center. who's an outstanding player. He is out along with Kobe Young, a wide receiver, Ethan Barber, a tight end, Bo Walker, running back, Kyron Jones, a DB, and Jordan Hall, a defensive lineman. They do not have anyone listed as questionable. But both these teams, at this point in the season, you play 12 games. Now you got to turn around and play, to this point, the biggest game of the season. It's a lot on these guys, Chase. And now you're talking about going into a playoff. It's a long season. So injuries are a big part of how your season plays out. It really, really is. All right, last night in basketball, Alabama. Listen, give the SEC some props. You got the applause thing in there ready. Let's give the SEC some props. Because after getting embarrassed on Tuesday night, I think they were down 6-2 or something like that after the first round of the SEC challenge.
6-3, I believe.
They came back and won the challenge last night.
Yeah.
They wound up winning the thing 9-7. So they were impressive. Yeah. And Alabama was one of those wins. Now, I didn't go to the game. As you know, I'm doing the news now. So I did not even go to the game. And what is going on here? I'm trying to log out of this. These phones drive me nuts. My Lord. Do what I want you to do when I want you to do it. But anyway, but I did watch some of it on TV. Alabama was up 20 in the first half. You're thinking, here we go. Blowout City. Didn't turn out that way, much like the Iron Bowl. Clemson came all the way back to lead in the second half before Alabama won it 1984. Now, Alabama, again, I need to go to a press conference here soon. Ask Coach Oates, do you plan on having your entire roster available at any point this season? Five guys out last night, including Aiden Holloway. But, boy, that freshman class, they're special. Alabama wins at 90-84, so big win for the Crimson Tide. The women play tonight against Clemson. And another thing, Chase, we talked about this yesterday, and Pat's on hold. We're going to get to you. But can the people that organize the SEC-ACC Challenge, or ACC-SEC Challenge, everyone say it, let Alabama play somebody other than Clemson? I know they played North Carolina one year, but it seems like it's. I've seen enough of Clemson. Alabama's won most of those games. I know they lost one or two, but it seems like that's a permanent opponent for Alabama in this challenge. Let's play somebody else. Let Alabama play Duke. All right, let Alabama play Miami. Let Alabama play Virginia Tech. Let's get a new team in there. But Alabama wins it last night, 90-84. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and hit our first break so we can stay on time. Pat, you hold tight. You're going to lead us off in the second segment. Tom is also, we're going to get to you. Let me run down the guest list for you. It's the usual Thursday guest list. The coach, Ellis Johnson, breaks down the SEC championship game at 9:30. D. Orlando Ledbetter breaks down the Atlanta Falcons going nowhere fast at 10. And Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340 Sports Anchor at 10:30. As I said, your phone calls are welcome, 205-342-9904. We'll get to Pat. We'll get to Tom on the other side. We'll get to you if you want to give us a ring. It's another rainy, chilly morning. It is winter in Tuscaloosa. It has been now. It's not technically winter, but feels like it. We'll be back after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning, Terry and Nick Saban and a small group of investors have purchased Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach on the Alabama coast. The facility is popular with vacationers and hosts dozens of conferences annually. The property has been in business for some 40 years. Click TuscaloosaThread.com all throughout the day for more news, sports, and weather across West Alabama. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
That I am come that she might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, it is the most wonderful time of the year. Have a Merry Christmas from Taco Casa.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Since we have no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Oh, we get a white Christmas. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Hey, men, if you want to look your best for the holidays, or you ladies want to make sure your man looks the best for the holidays, get by T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit sale. $99, and you can look like $1 million. Tom will hook you up. That's the $99 suit sale at T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, University Mall. All right, we got phone calls lined up. We're going to get to Pat, then Tom, then Corey. All right, Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Man, what a day for recruiting yesterday. We got our QB, and the main thing was we got us a running back, a real running back to be in tandem with A.K. Deere.
Xavier Crowell, absolutely. E.J. Crowell, absolutely.
Coach was beaming talking about Crowell. I've been following Crowell. As you know, I follow recruiting hard. But that young man, he had all kind of yards, and he wasn't probably playing a half. He would take him out. And if he would have got to play all four quarters, it ain't no telling what kind of yardage he could have eclipsed. But he went over 6,000 yards in just three seasons of play. Now, here's my question for you. I'm a real big believer in growth plates and all these kind of things, and about how people get a little running backs and wide receivers and basketball players, everybody gets a little taller. That young man is very young, just like that our number two was, and that I'm hoping that he can put on another inch and a half more height to go along and get him up to about 215, 220, and be a real stone-cold killer in the next 2 years. What do you think?
I'm with you, my friend. Absolutely. The talent is there. Just turn him loose, man. Turn him loose.
Yeah. Because he's a compact. When I say by compact, he's a big back. He's 205, 210.
Oh, I know what you're saying, but he's built, a little bit like that Mark Ingram.
But he's young.
Yeah.
He's got another year of high school. And he reclassified. And then that he reclassified, he could still keep growing a little bit, and that'd be speed.
Well, let me say this, Pat. I'm with you on Crowell, and I think A.K. Deere is a special talent, too. Feed him the ball, though. We got to run the ball. Yeah. People say we can't run the ball. You got to make more of an effort to run it. You know what I mean? You got to, like you said, you get a guy like Crowell up here and you get him ready to go. You got to start giving these guys a football, Pat. You got to let them, like you said, man, feed the ball. Let these guys get going a little bit.
Our issues, Ben, is that I was not happy with how some of our running backs have been hitting the hole. It's like they seem. For lack of a better word, timid a little bit, hitting a hole. Because it's like, you got to get in there and you have creases, and you got to have the vision to see where those creases are in order to make those yards, because we're getting 2 yards. We're not getting, most decent SEC running backs ought to be able to get 3.5 anyway.
Yeah. Well, I tell you this, I want to see next year with Deer with some experience, Daniel Hill, Crowell coming in. I want to see this running game take a step toward more production next year. I just think that's Alabama football, man. And I'm not one of these guys, run the ball, just run the ball every play. I'm not saying that, but, get it going a little bit. I'm with you on Crowell, though. I think he's a special talent.
My son, was an NFL agent. He's watched Russell. He said Russell's a generational talent. That he has one of the smoothest releases that he's ever seen from a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm excited that I think we're going to do fine this year. And Ty's going to come together here for this SEC championship. But, and yeah, we got some people hurt. Hey, but we got a five-star replacing that young man that's out at LT Overton. There's a five-star that's been on the side, but we
had. You're talking about Keon Keeley, I bet.
Yes, sir.
Well, they're going to need him on Saturday, no doubt about that. Hey, Pat, I want to hit some other callers, man. Good. Call me.
Have a blessed one, sir.
Yes, sir. Call me back tomorrow, too, by the way. Be in studio tomorrow. All right, let's get to the sheriff. Where's my clicker? There we are. We got to get to Tom. All right, Tom, what's up?
Good morning, Gary. Hey, this may not be the time to call. I was going to talk to you about the lawsuit between Hamlin and Jordan and NASCAR. Have you been keeping up?
I have not even read an update on that. So, yeah, I don't have the info right now, Tom.
Oh, my God, Gary. You talking about a soap opera, baby. They got it going on.
Well, let me get myself caught up on that because
I will.
And I'll be ready for you. I'll be ready for you tomorrow because I need to catch up on that. I've been catching up on some golf stuff too, so I need to catch up on NASCAR. And call me back and we'll discuss it.
Yeah, we will. And there's a few things in there I'd love to get your take on.
Yeah, because I know it's potentially messy. That's for sure. So yeah, we'll discuss it.
I think after the day when some of the car owners hit the witness stand. You're gonna see fireworks flying around.
All right, I'll look forward to it. I will. I'll catch up on that today, Tom, and we'll discuss it tomorrow. Hey, thanks, my friend. Let's get to Corey and Trustful here as we'll close out this segment. And Ellis Johnson, the coach, coming up next. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing great.
So, first of all, what's the word on LT Overton of the severity of the injury?
I have no idea. No idea. All I know is he's out. Like I said, he was at media availability on Tuesday after practice, good to go. And then showed up on the injury report is out last night. I have no idea. That's all I can tell you. I don't know if it's just this game, if it's the rest of the season. I don't know. I mean, he caught me off guard when he was listed on the injury report last night is out for this SEC championship game. So I don't know.
That's just weird. I mean, you hope it's nothing serious, or you hope if it's just something. Maybe away from the team or something. He hope nothing, but like you said, Keon Keeley would be ready to go. And on a side note of that, do you think that's a player we can afford to miss in this game and be okay for this game, or is this?
Oh, listen. If you ask me, guys that you wouldn't want to be without for the SEC championship game, he would be one of them. I think that LT Overton is a major loss. I mean, and you don't want to lose any starters, but he is an impact player on that defensive front. And that is an area, especially when you play Georgia, that you need to be able to hold up. So not only do you not have him, but then that also affects your depth, it affects your rotation. But he is an impact player. And defensive line, man, that's an area where you've got to be good against Georgia. So I think it's a major loss for the game. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. Being without LT Overton in this game is a big-time hit for the Crimson Tide.
So I guess that makes you even more confident about your pick against Georgia, doesn't it?
Well, listen, I think Alabama could still win the game. But I think that not having Overton impacts their defense. There's no way around it, you know, and you're already without Jamarian Latham. Jeremiah Beeman went down early in the season. Now Russo has come back, you know, but that's a loss, man. There's no other way around it. If you know, the only defensive lineman to me that's more valuable than LT Overton is Tim Keenan. Because Tim Keenan holds that middle of the defense. He takes up space. He ties up blockers. But I think that LT Overton's the second most valuable defensive lineman that they have. And they played, you know, some of the season without Keenan, and now they're without Overton. So it's football. It happens. I don't know what happened. I guess I assume something happened in practice yesterday. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, no, that's disappointing.
Last thing before I go, do you think it's time for Mark Freeman to get some looks at college?
You know, I don't know. I have thought about that. You know, I have thought about that. And I wonder if maybe he's not interested because, you know, Mark Freeman is not a young coach. I mean, he's in his 60s, And he's got such a good job there at Thompson. And he calls all the shots that for him to go, because he'd have to be an assistant coach unless some smaller school, some smaller college decided they want to hire him. So I don't know. I don't know. But, boy, I tell you, Thompson did it again last night as they blew out Opelika. And
basically, the semifinal was the state championship between them and Central City.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way the bracket goes. I mean, but no surprise there. I think the dynasty keeps rolling, and I don't see it slowing down.
Yeah, you know, Central Phoenix City came all the way back. I still hadn't figured out why Pat Nix went for two there. You're at home. Get it into overtime and see what happens. But, yeah, it's another one. Once Tom, they may lose some games in the regular season, but once they get in the playoffs, man, what we're talking about is Thompson Warriors won the Class 7A state championship game last night, blowing out Opelika over at Protective Stadium in Birmingham. Hey, Corey, what else you got in the last minute here?
Clay and Fairland will be a good game. It'll be interesting to see about that and see if E.J. Crowell can win the state championship for Jackson. But and good week for Alabama basketball last night. Wish they would have closed out stronger, but you'll take a win any way you can get it. And I'm just hoping they can go out 12-3 or better in the rest of this non-conference, because we know the SEC is a gauntlet. And if you can get some wins in the SEC, you know you can get a good seed in the tournament.
Yeah, Clay, Chautauqua, and Sherrilland, you're right. It's going to be an awesome game. Hey, thank you, Corey.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
All right, 9:30. We're going to come back with the coach, Ellis Johnson, next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Deductible donation, go online to eldridgetoyrun.com. The 23rd annual Eldridge Toy Run, December 6th in Eldridge. Special thanks to Taylor Electrical.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Show. We've been busy this morning, and now it's time to visit with the coach, Ellis Johnson, about these conference championship games. Also, we'll look back at rivalry weekend as a man. It's hard to believe, coach. It seems like yesterday we were coming on to preview the season, and now here we are wrapping it up, getting ready for the postseason.
It flies by, Gary. Well, coach, we always said that days dragged and really kind of dragged along, but the weeks flew by.
Yeah.
From the first game to the last game, it's gone.
Incredible. Boy, so much has happened since last week, too. We'll dive into it. Let's start by just taking a look back at rivalry weekend. We're not going to hit on all of these games, but obviously want to touch on the Iron Bowl. You've been a part of it on both sides. And you know, Alabama went down to Jordan-Hare and got out 17-0, had the ball in pretty good field position up 17-zip, and I still hadn't quite figured out Ryan Grubb can't help himself. They ran one of those double reverse passes or whatever it was and kind of set the tone for a bad possession, and then it shank a punt and Auburn gets on the board, gets a little momentum, and next thing you know it's 20-20 in the fourth quarter. But Alabama goes on a 75-yard drive. They end up a lot of clock, fourth and two at the 6-yard line. They roll the dice and Simpson hit Horton for what turned out to be the game winner. Then the Alabama defense forced a fumble on Cam Coleman to clinch it. So Alabama gets out of there with a huge win for Kalen DeBoer and this staff. Gets them into the SEC championship game. More than likely gets them into the playoff. So, again, the difference in winning and losing that game for Alabama, huge. The atmosphere in this town, completely different. But Bama got it done 27-20. What'd you see?
We talked about it, Gary, although it should have been a tilted game toward Alabama. We knew it was going to be close because of the two rivals. They got off to a great start, but if you said it, it just sort of fizzled out. I was impressed with Daniels handling what was probably a pretty rough environment noise-wise, and he didn't have a great running game most of that game to take some pressure off of him. His worst game of the year in passing yardage. His season low. They've got to probably play better if they're going to beat Georgia. Mm-hmm. Give Auburn a lot of credit, man. They've played great defense all year, and just the offense just has not been there. But the difference in the game is Alabama didn't turn the football over.
That's right. That's what it was. Those two turnovers for Auburn were absolute killers. And, you know, it's kind of role reversal from the Oklahoma game. You know, Alabama at nearly doubled up Oklahoma in total yardage, but three turnovers killed them in this game. They had 280 yards. Auburn wound up with over 400 yards of offense because of those big plays. But you've said it as a coach so many times, man. People can watch the games and see. When you turn the football over and the other team doesn't, and it's a competitive game, more than likely that's going to be the difference. And it certainly wasn't at Iron Bowl.
Absolutely, totally. And yeah, I tell you, I think Auburn's got something to be optimistic about with the quarterback situation. I think that to play in that pressure situation, such a young kid, and do a pretty good job. Did throw one pick, but also had 259 yards passing and had a TD. So he played just about as well as Simpson did. And so that's encouraging for the future, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And Auburn, of course, new head coach, kind of hit the reset button again, but you're right, that's a more, the talent level for that team is a lot better than the record indicates. Let's talk about, since Georgia's going to be Alabama's opponent, they didn't have an easy time of it, and we didn't expect them to, but they got it done against Georgia Tech at Mercedes-Benz Stadium 16-9, but much like Alabama, offensively, you know, Georgia didn't exactly light it up, and you know, their quarterback struggled to throw the football in that game.
Oh, his worst game by far, I think, this year. And he'd been playing better. Over the last three or four weeks, one of the biggest things I saw in Georgia is they were starting to throw the ball downfield on some vertical routes effectively. And, boy, they were getting where they were hard to handle. But it just, I don't know, I guess you have to give credit a little bit to Tech and their defense. But this was a non-productive game for Gunner. And, you know, he did have a pick also. And it's only one touchdown scored the whole game. It's a short pass in the red zone by Stockton. But they've got to play a lot better. And I'll give Tech a little bit of credit. They've played tough defense all year. But they've got to play better if they're going to have a shot to beat Alabama.
I do want to touch on A&M because they've never been to Atlanta. Ole Miss hasn't either, and neither one of those teams will get to go this year. Still going to wind up being Georgia and Alabama. Amazing. But A&M was in position to have a perfect regular season. They went into Austin as a favorite, and 27-17, but Texas controlled that game, man. I understand A&M's in the playoff, but for that fan base, that was really disappointing to be unbeaten, going into Austin as a favorite, and get it handed to you again by the Longhorns.
And if I'm not mistaken, you and I said this last time, yeah, we wouldn't be surprised.
No, we did. We did say it. Yep.
You know, Texas has been hot and cold, but they played better defense than Texas A&M. Texas A&M this year was ranked. They're not even ranked the defense in the top 50. And it's sort of misleading because they were one of the top sack teams in the conference. But they overall on defense, they were not real good this year. And that's what Elko, that's what he specializes in for his head coach. So I think everybody expects him to be good, and they were disruptive. They weren't even the top 50 this year in defense. And as you just said, Texas controlled football the whole time. Didn't turn it over and ran the ball effectively, 218 yards. Arch didn't have to throw the ball around very much against them.
Let's get to this Ole Miss situation. And the coaches, we'll talk about, we'll save the SEC championship game preview for last. But, you know, I kind of bought into a lot of the things with Lane, too, about being more mature. And listen, he's got a right to do what he wants to do. $90 million is a lot of money. But it is still a soap opera. Now it's a he said, she said type of thing. I think it's very unfortunate for Ole Miss. But I can't – you're a coach, so I want to get your perspective. This narrative that he's put out there that I should have been allowed to coach Ole Miss, are you kidding me? Come on, man. You're going to LSU. Well, You can't let him coach that team, can you, Ellis?
No. I mean, it was going to be a big factor, and it was going to destroy the team's chances to win. But, although it'll be an organizational thing that they'll have to work through, I just can't imagine. He made his decision, and Ole Miss made their decision. And, you know, he said he respected it, so he needs to move on. There are rumors now that there was some of the stuff he's talking about, how it all came down. The AD is denying it, saying it's totally false. And so it's not what he did, it's how he's handled it.
Right.
I think have people concerned. And if I'm sitting at LSU, I'm happy right now, but I got one eye on the door over there because He's left everywhere he's left in a bad situation. And just, you know, I know this is their start. Everybody's all hunky-dory and all that. But better look out down the road, because it's probably going to happen there, too.
And I'll tell you something else, too. In this current environment, the kind of money they're paying him, the money they've committed to the roster, they're not listen, this isn't going to be a long-term rebuild. They're going to want results, and they're going to want them quick, Coach. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And in this league, you know, you go down there and go 8-4 the first year, they're already going to be restless. And he had it – I hate to say this term because, you know, this is not true. Nobody's got it made in coaching. But he had as close to having it made at Ole Miss as you can have it, man. I know I've got – friends there. Brett Brewer, Coach Brewer's son's a really good friend of mine. They gave him everything he asked for. Everything. You know, he didn't have to speak to alumni groups. He didn't have to entertain players. I mean, he literally got to do anything he wanted to do. He built that program, and to walk away from that, I understand. I mean, people say, oh, she's one of the great jobs, but I'm telling you, man, as a coach, I can't imagine having a better situation than he had at Ole Miss. I'll just tell you that.
Well, I guess in the long run, he must have felt like that on the NIL money and that type of thing, they just couldn't keep up. And that may be true. But as you said, they're going to expect results, and they're not going to wait 2 or 3 years for him. And that's okay. I mean, he's used to pressure. I think they got a lot of work to do in some areas. And, you know, Lane's never won a championship on the major level. Now, he won a couple down at FAU. I don't know what that conference is. But he's never won a championship before. And he's played it, and he's coached at some schools. You know, Southern Cal and Tennessee are in the same conversation as LSU. So he's been where the resources have been, and he still doesn't have a championship of any kind that I'm aware of.
Not even a conference. It doesn't. Well, that's going to be interesting. And you wonder how it's going to impact Ole Miss, Ellis. I mean, Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to come back and call the plays, is what they're saying, because he got on the plane to go to LSU. But Pete Golding now is thrust in. I understand they want to have continuity, but I still think this impacts Ole Miss for the playoff. I mean, you're losing your head coach and Pete Golding, who's never been a head coach. And so we'll see. But how do you think it'll impact them?
I think the most critical thing is going to be who they've got. You know, Charlie obviously knows the offense and can call the offense. Sometimes there are things during the course of a game where you got to get the quarterbacks here. You got to settle some things down. You see some things. And for all his faults, Lane's one of the best at game time, you know, seeing things, making adjustments, and calling plays. And he knows he's got a good call against you. So it'll be interesting to see if they can be just as effective. What he did with the Shambliss kid this year was really impressive. And it was key probably to their offense, that and the running back they got. So I think it's going to be a difficult thing to overcome, but I don't think it will hurt them too much.
All right, Coach Ellis Johnson with us. Let's go ahead and talk about the other coaching changes, because 6 SEC schools have new head coaches today that they didn't have on Saturday. That's remarkable to me. And I asked the question, in 3 years from now, how many of these 6 will still have their jobs? But just your thoughts on where we're at in coaching. Let's use this example. And I'm sure Will Stein is a good football coach. I mean, did a nice job at Oregon. But LSU kind of came up when coaching was a grind. This kid, and we can call him a kid because he's 35 years old and we're, you know, older. Not 6 years ago, not 10 years ago, not 15 years ago, 2019. So 5.5 years ago, he was an assistant coach at a high school in Texas. That was a big high school. But an assistant coach in high school. And 6 years later, he's the head coach of the University of Kentucky, Ellis. That's where we're at, man. They're trying to, all these schools that fire coaches are trying to find a coach, and I think there are more good jobs than there are really great candidates to fill them. So you get a young man who was coaching high school as an assistant coach 5.5 years ago, is now the head coach in the SEC. It's remarkable.
Two things about it, Gary, in general. I thought that when all this money was going to have to be paid to players, it will slow down some of the hastiness in firing coaches. But it looks like it's on gas on the fire, because it seems like really the more money people have put into the programs to try to get their player budgets up, the more demanding they are for immediate success. And when they don't have it, not only do they come up with $30 million or $50 million or whatever they got to come up with, they sign the next coach to a more ridiculous contract than the one they just fired. So I don't know where it's going to stop. I guess I was born too late. But the other thing is, I think some of these schools that waited and all of a sudden got caught up in the, you know, I watched Kentucky, you get triple people firing their coaches and you're having a worse season than they did. So you're like, we got to fire our coach. This wasn't a very smart year for Kentucky to be firing a coach. But now you're getting in the same shopping mall with all those other schools and they've got more to offer. Now, I know, I'm sure Kentucky's got plenty of money, but they don't have tradition and they don't have the history and they don't have the commitment to football that some of these schools do have who are trying to find coaches. And I'm just in general, I mean, they're not going to be on the same pecking order as Penn State, LSU, Florida, Auburn. All those guys are going to probably get a pick before you're going to go get your shot. And so it might not have been a very good time for them to be trying to find a coach.
Yeah. All right. Let's ask. I want to ask you about Auburn because it appears, you know, if you read the reports from good reporters that cover that program, that John Sumrall was their target. He did not necessarily want to sign off on some things that, I guess, staff wise, he winds up at Florida. I think John Sumrall's a heck of a young football coach. And then it appears, based on what I read and what Golish had to say, he said he got the offer about 1 o'clock Sunday morning, which makes you wonder if DJ Durkin wins that football game in the Iron Bowl, if he's the head coach today. But Alex Golish from South Florida gets the offer, accepts the job. What do you know about him? How do you think Auburn did in finding a new head coach to replace Hugh Freeze?
Gary, I don't know anything other than just, you know, reading reports and quick bio and his background. I've never met him, and I haven't followed him very much. I don't know that anybody can predict these kind of things.
Right.
You know, everybody has to have a head coach, a proven head coach, before they're going to hire him to be their head coach. At some point in time, you know, you got to have a jump in the water and learn how to swim. Kirby Smart was never a head coach before he took Georgia, and he's got national championships.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Day was never a head coach at Ohio State, never was before. He's got national championships. Dabo Sweeney was never a head coach before he got the Clemson job. He wasn't even ever a coordinator before he got that job. He's got two national championships. So there are examples in, on both sides of the fence. You can say, well, there's another 5 or 10 over here. They had not been head coaches, and they flunked out. They didn't do a good job. So, you know, that's fine, but I don't think you could predict the success based on necessarily on the coach's background. I think all of these hires that in the last 2 weeks have been good hires for these schools. I think they're really good coaches who got a shot. The question is, what is going to be your level of commitment to put behind them? I'm talking about paying staff, and I'm talking about paying players. And I hate to say it, but that's what it's all about today. It's no different than NFL.
I agree 100%. All right, Coach, let's get to this SEC championship game. Again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Alabama and Georgia. Alabama beat Georgia in Athens 24-21 earlier this season. But Alabama's extremely banged out. And the news came out last night that arguably their best defensive lineman, LT Overton, is out for this game. He met with the media Tuesday and was fine. So something must have happened at practice yesterday. Jam Miller's questionable. I mean, they've got a long laundry list of injuries. Now, Drew Bobo, the center, is out for Georgia, but Alabama's a really banged-up football team. Now they got to go to Atlanta and play Georgia again. I know the recent history says, you know, Alabama has owned Georgia. They're 10-1 in the last 11. Kirby's 1-7 against the Tide. I get all that, but this game really has nothing to do with that. How do you see this matchup?
Well, you brought up all the main points. I don't like the way Georgia's been trending lately. They played very poorly against Georgia Tech, and they stopped in the worst game. But they're certainly not playing their best football right now. On the other hand, Alabama is not either. And I didn't realize all those injuries. I knew some of the kids were hurt, but I didn't know they were out. So that's certainly a big factor. I just tend to think, you know, Georgia's been behind in 7 of their 8 SEC games this year, but they finished 7-1. And the reason they're just mentally and physically tougher than most of these teams are today. You know, Gary, there's somebody told us the other day that he's a matrix guy. He's all this analytics and all that. For the last 16 years, the national champion has either been ranked in the top 3 in offense or in the top 3 on defense.
Wow.
And if you weren't in the top 3 not the top 15, not the top 20, if you weren't in the top three on offense or defense, 16 years since anybody's won the national championship. So that kind of got my attention, and I looked down through this, and the SEC, they don't have a good balanced football team in the league this year. Alabama's close, but they're 11th in defense, but they're 26th in offense. And Georgia is 12th in defense, but they're 35th in offense. So these teams, 10 years ago, the Alabama team and Georgia team and then that LSU team that old John had, they would beat the dog mess out of these teams right now. But the parity's been good, competitiveness has been good, but overall, they're not any bullies in the league this year. So I just cannot, I'm saying all that to say this, I don't know how to predict this. I think both of them, you know, are good football teams, but neither one of them are balanced and total football teams on both sides of the ball. And they're starting to have, like you said, late season injuries and poor performances and inconsistencies and so forth. So I'm going to go with Georgia because they seem to be the mentally tougher and the physically tougher team that can win on a dirty day, you know?
Let me ask you this. Alabama moved ahead of Notre Dame in the latest CFP rankings. I think that's huge. I think Alabama is in regardless, and I think they should be. They're the number one seed going into this game. I know there's four teams that are 7-1 in the SEC, two of them in the championship game, but Alabama's the number one seed. Unless something happened, they got blown out. I mean, there'd be a terrible precedent set if you go to the SEC championship game as the number one seed and lose and don't make the playoff. Do you agree that they're in, even if Georgia beats them?
I don't know. I mean, I would tend to agree with the way you put it. If it's an ugly loss, I could see them slipping. And what's going to determine this, unfortunately, is UVA and Duke, two unranked football teams, are going to play for the ACC championship. Well, Virginia's ranked, but they're not even close to the top people. I think that if Virginia wins the game and gets in, they're going to take somebody's spot who's a better football team. And then you've got the BYU, Texas Tech. If BYU beats Texas Tech, I don't think they'll drop Texas Tech out of the playoffs.
They won't.
BYU.
Yeah,
you're talking about spots that can be taken. Now, who's going to get dropped out? Notre Dame can't do anything this weekend. If Alabama goes out and lays an egg and gets beat and doesn't play well, yeah, I think they could slip out because it's just a crazy year with these other teams that are going to take those last two spots.
Wow, crazy. All right, our final really minute max. I do want to get your take on, boy, what a Big Ten championship game we've got with Ohio State and Indiana. Who do you like there?
Ohio State, and I just told you that top three in offense or top three in defense, now, they're probably the top-ranked team in the nation for good reason. I'm not old impressed with their schedule, but when they have had a pretty serious challenge, they've taken care of it. I think they're overall a better depth chart, a better roster than Indiana, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Indiana can pull this off. I think they've got the best quarterback in the game. If they have a little bit of running game to help him and they protect him, I think they can score with Ohio State. But I would give Ohio State the edge because I think they're just a little bit more complete team.
Coach, listen, we've had a lot of fun. I don't want to end the segment yet because I think we've still got plenty of football to talk about heading into this playoff. So we'll keep it going for a couple more weeks if that's okay with you.
Sounds great, Gary.
Thanks, Coach.
Enjoy it, man.
All right, 9:54. We're going to come back and wrap up the first hour of the Gary Harris Show right after this timeout. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
It's clinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy...
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy today with a chance of some scattered light rain, the high 48. For tonight, periods of rain with the low at 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, but the clouds will linger, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. When we come back on the other side for hour number two, we'll be visiting with D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Falcons in serious trouble again this season. Plus, Jeff Spiegel. Also, we're going to get to Kalen DeBoer if we can. He had his afternoon press conference yesterday to talk about signing day and more. So a big second hour is on the way. The Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmas.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Monsi Bolaños.
Week 14 of the NFL kicks off with Thursday Night Football as the Lions will be hosting the Cowboys, and wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown is questionable for Detroit. In the NBA on Wednesday, Cooper Flagg doing what he can for the Mavericks.
To Nembhard, and now in the middle to Davis out top. Drops it right to Flagg. Fakes the pass, takes the drive, got to the rim. Score it with a foul and a chance for three. And again, Brian, Cooper Flagg, fourth quarter, put your head down, go to the rim.
Yeah, you heard it on the Eagle Mavericks radio network. They beat the Heat 118-108, where Flagg ended with 22 points. The Clippers snapped their five-game losing streak with a 115-92 win over the Hawks, while Jamal Murray dropped 52 points.
Tuscaloosa Track Air, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Jumpson Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy today with a chance of some scattered light rain, the high 48. For tonight, periods of rain with the low at 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, but the clouds will linger, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. We're kicking off hour number two with my pal D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. We visit every Thursday, and I was hoping this season that maybe it would go in a different direction, but unfortunately for Falcons fans, it's the same old, same old. Good morning, Orlando. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Gary. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, the latest debacle. They lose to the Jets on the final play, 27-24. Listen, it's kind of like covering Auburn football in this state. I mean, at some point, the wouldas, the couldas, the shouldas were close. Yeah, you know, they should have won more football games, no doubt about it. Should have beaten New England, should have beaten Indianapolis, should have beaten Carolina, should have beaten the Jets. You know, you win those four games, it's an entirely different season. But they didn't. And you know, I've talked about it. The margin for error in the NFL is it's a fine line between having a good team and being where the Falcons are at. And right now, with what they've got left, five games, I don't think, you know, they're at home against Seattle on Sunday. Still have to play Tampa Bay, still have to play the Rams. Yeah, maybe they can beat Arizona and New Orleans, but they're going nowhere fast again, Orlando. And that game against the Jets just kind of epitomized everything wrong about the Falcons. They should have won that football game, but once again, they didn't.
Yeah, no doubt, Gary. And the Jets tried like heck to give it to him.
Sure
man.
Did.
It was like, no, you take it.
Yeah.
No, we're tanking over here. We traded all our players.
Yeah, we don't want to win.
We don't want to win. They're like, no, we're going to drop the ball, so we don't want to catch it either. So yeah, it was a bizarre game. They, you know, just didn't step up to make the plays. The blunders continued. Had a lead with 8:46 to go. Defense then, you know, been playing well all day. And then they give up a 15-play drive to Tyrod Taylor, of all people. I mean, he's a great backup quarterback who's had a great career in the NFL, but, you know, he's a backup. And, you know, then they let out the kickoff return again. You know, that's been a problem all year. It's either the team's not real good or not being coached well. You know, it's a long list of things that are wrong with the Atlanta Falcons right now.
And what makes it harder to deal with is you were even somewhat optimistic in the offseason. Falcons fans were optimistic. We were all told that, you know, the infrastructure was in place and you got the quarterback and you know, there's alignment in the organization and you're going to go out and have a big season, and right off the bat you blow a game against Tampa Bay. Now, they did bounce back to get to 3-2, but since that time, it's just been it's just so confusing to me that you can have an organization that continues to repeat this storyline, and they are always so optimistic going into the regular season. And what happens to this bunch?
Yeah, you know, Gary, we gave them a benefit of the doubt. You know, they're pretty good at selling their team. But when you looked at it, there were a lot of variables that had to line up for them. And one of them was the quarterback had to play well. You know, Bijan did his thing. Drake London was doing okay. So you were hoping to get more from Kyle Pitts. You know, and that didn't happen. And Mooney didn't happen. So this offense you thought you were going to have that was going to be number one in the league, you know, is a middle of the pack offense. And so, you know, you thought your defense, which you knew was smallish and fast, was going to be playing with the leads, but they're not playing with the lead. They're behind, and then when they get a lead, they can't keep it. So, and the special teams problem, they knew that was a problem last year. I don't know. He missed 7 kicks last year. Why you don't go out and draft a kid from Florida State last year? You know, he's kicking in Carolina now. You know, he's from Georgia, so he would have been there at Locals Day. So, yeah, they made some bad decisions. And some of the variables they were hoping to work out, you know, didn't. Which, you know, we kind of know it never worked out 100%.
All right, I asked you this last week, but again, this is the Falcons just playing out the string. What's going to happen in the offseason? Penix is hurt. You know, they're stuck with Cousins, man. It's just been unbelievable. What a disaster signing that turned out to be. So you've got two high-priced quarterbacks on your roster, but we're not sure you got a quarterback, period, for the future. The head coach is in, you know, his name's up for conversation, but as you've pointed out consistently, Arthur Blake really likes Raheem Morris. I mean, he keeps bringing the guy back. I mean, you have said this or indicated that you think it's time just to blow the whole thing up in the offseason and start from scratch. Do you think that will happen? Or if they'll try to limp along with a couple Band-Aids and convince everybody that it's fixed again?
Yeah, I don't think so, because they had a chance to do that with Belichick, and they didn't do it.
So at that point, you know, it was 2 years ago, but at that point, they thought they had a good enough team to move forward. They didn't need to blow it up. But now 2 years down the road, you spent a lot of money on quarterback and a lot of draft capital on that. And you got your pass rush fixed. That you can give them a check mark there. But a lot of things you told the owner that were going to make you all contenders didn't work out. So now you got to sit down in front of him and say, hey, we got that wrong too. And so at that point, the owner's going to say, you know, do I keep throwing money at these people that keep messing up, or do I, you know, start over here? And, you know, so you can make a case for Raheem staying that, you know, he inherited a mess and it continued to be a mess, and you give him a GM to go share his vision, or you just blow it up and start over. And, you know, what Ben Johnson's doing in Chicago and Mike Vrabel's doing in New England certainly isn't helping Raheem Morris out.
Nope, it isn't. All right, Sunday, the host of the Seahawks, Sam Darnold. You know, this team, they can run it. They're physical on defense. They're physical at the line of scrimmage. Falcons do catch them at home. Any shot Atlanta wins this game?
No, I don't think so, Gary. I think this is a beatdown of big proportions here. This is a very good Seattle defense with Leonard Williams up front and Dexter Lawrence. Falcons won't be able to block them. You know, they won't be able to throw it against that secondary. You know, they got a good running game. They got two backs, so, you know, they don't have to put it on Darnold's hands, even though last year he threw five touchdowns against these boys. So when he was with the Vikings, he had different receivers there. But, yeah, this doesn't look good for the Falcons on Sunday. But, you know, as soon as we say that, they, you know, they do have the Buffalo win on their ledger this year where they can, you know, bow up and play to another level.
All right, let's talk about the league. Year to year, we call it a week-to-week league, but season to season, you just don't know. I mean, who would have dreamed the Patriots would be 11-2? Who would have dreamed the Bears, you know, would be 9-3? The Eagles would be struggling. Cowboys are bouncing back. You know, the Ravens and Steelers are, you know, trying to see who can win the North, and then the Bengals all of a sudden with Joe Burrow back, figure they got a shot. I mean, it's just, you just don't know in this league, man. It's just, is that, we talked about it before, parity and it's by design. Do you think that's what the league office is really happy with, all of this parity, not having a dominant team anymore?
Yeah, I think they are, because when you look at the television ratings, you know, I saw one of the graphics where the Chiefs-Cowboys game was at 57 million.
Yeah, so it was.
People are turning in to see, you know, different and new teams be up there. You know, certainly the Cowboys being back after a down season has helped that. The Chiefs seem to be sliding the other way. But then you got fan bases in different cities that can get excited now. You know, Detroit's been dead for years. Now they're fired up. The Bears haven't been a thing since the 85 Bears. So, you know, that's a wonderful Chicagoland group that's ready to be back in the playoffs and be relevant again. So, yeah, you know, that's just exactly what P. Rozelle wanted.
Yeah.
You know, not just, you know, you didn't want, like, the NBA used to be the Celtics and the Lakers and everybody else is just in the way. But the NFL, everybody's got a shot.
Yeah.
And that's pretty exciting, I think, from Roger Goodell's standpoint. For us, we're just seeing a lot of bad football.
Well, close games, crazy stat of the day. The Denver Broncos are 10-2 with a point differential of plus 66. The Chiefs are 6-6 with a point differential of plus 73. So the Chiefs have outscored their opponents by more than the Broncos have, but the Broncos have just amazing how they've won these close games in Orlando every week.
Yeah, no, that's not – They'll get exposed at some point, usually in the playoffs, usually by the divisional round. The cream, my daddy used to say, the cream always rises to the top. And the cream teams that are playing hot and well in the playoffs, so, you know, they'll take care of that auto-correct. Those close wins the Broncos have been stacking up.
All right, it's going to be fun down the stretch. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, at G Orlando AJC on the X. And, you know, our website is AJC.com for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Thanks, Orlando.
Thank you, Gary. Have a great one.
All right. It's 10. Yes, sir. It's 10:14 here on the Gary Harris Show. And if you're ready to take that next step in your fitness journey, join the YMCA. That's what's missing. Maybe you've tried other gyms. Maybe you tried to do it yourself. But if you join the Y, you're going to have a community of people that are all interested in the same thing. It's a great place to work out, great environment. Their personal training staff is top-notch. They've got all the fitness classes that you need to enroll in, Silver Sneakers program for seniors, just a really unique facility. Downtown, 2300 13th Street in Tuscaloosa. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y.
Time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Shakira Lanier lost her 15-year-old son in a head-on DUI collision on the Hugh Thomas Bridge a year ago.
We don't wish this on nobody. So if you decide to drink and drive, please don't, because we don't want this to happen so nobody else.
29-year-old Rachel Robinson faces manslaughter charges. Nick and Terry Saban.
Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
Saturday at Kohl's. No purchase necessary while supplies last on 12/6/25. One card per household. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offers end December 6th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Into the Gary Harris Show, 10:19, and boy, I don't get Prime Video, plus I'm working, but what a big game tonight in the NFL. The Lions host the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? The Lions are not playing the way that they would like to play. This is, we just talking about Orlando. This is a wacky year in the NFL, but the Cowboys got a ton of momentum. Could Dallas go into Detroit and win? It's not beyond the realm of possibility. This Cowboy team has been juiced, and Jerry Jones now is the toast to Big D. At least that's what I'm reading all of a sudden. We'll chat with Cowboy because he's calling the Gary Show, Harris Show hotline. He lives out there. Cowboy, everybody celebrating Jerry Jones for the moment? Cowboy,
yeah,
drop off.
Oh,
there, Gary, he is. There he is. Go ahead.
Gary, they're saying, you know, if they get this win tonight, they might finish out without a loss because – after tonight, the Cowboys have Minnesota at home. You say that's probably a win. The Chargers, depending on Herbert's hand situation, could be a win at noon. At Washington and at the Giants, those are two wins. So you get this one tonight, and you could finish, you could run the table maybe.
And think about this. With the way the Eagles are suddenly struggling – now, that tie kind of lingers for the Cowboys, but the Eagles are 8-4, but they're not playing well. I mean, if the Cowboys, We're to win tonight. You can start thinking about winning the division, man.
Yes, sir. The only way that Dallas is going to get in the playoffs, I read an article by one of the better writers for the Dallas Morning News, Tim Collishaw, is pretty much they got to win the division.
Yeah, so the wild card's not going to work out just because of the way it sets up.
Yeah.
Well,
but, you know, this is do or die for Dan Campbell in Detroit. This is probably the best game of Thursday night you'll probably have all year. I mean, matchup-wise going into
it. Yeah.
You know, thank goodness out here locally, since Dallas is playing, the game will be shown on a local Dallas channel besides Prime. Because when the NFL contract, when your team plays in the local market on a Prime deal, they have to show the game.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, here's the deal, too. You mentioned the Lions. It is obvious that Ben Johnson made a big difference, him not being the offense coordinator anymore. Same thing in Philadelphia. I tell you, sometimes these coordinators, man, when you lose these guys, it changes the dynamic of your team. You look at where the Bears are at right now, and then you look at where the Lions are at. It's crazy. All right, I don't mean to hijack your call. What'd you call in about?
Yeah, well, I was calling in to talk about, I know you're a big NASCAR guy, and you have Matt Coulter on. And this Michael Jordan lawsuit, I've been seeing him going in and out of the courthouse. And what is he trying to accomplish?
Well, you know what? Tom called in about the same thing, and I admit I've dropped the ball a little bit. I did catch up on golf because I still do a golf segment every week with Casey, but we dropped off the NASCAR segment for now. So I have not been following this lawsuit, but I know that it's basically these teams led by 2311 are claiming that NASCAR has a monopoly. And the charter system is not fair, and it restricts team revenues, and they're in court about it. That's about all that I can tell you, because, again, I focus more on the on-track stuff, but you got antitrust allegations, you got the charter dispute, obviously you got a court case, you got Michael Jordan, high-profile owner. NASCAR is trying to maintain that, you know, this is the way they've practiced their standards in business forever. So I don't know what's going to happen, Cowboy. I don't know what it means. I don't really understand it well enough legally to know that if 2311 wins this lawsuit, I guess it just NASCAR will have a lot less control over everything, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Gary, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. As I echo probably Tom, would you please educate us on this before the trial finishes?
Well, I already said when Tom called in, I was going to try to read up on it and get prepared to know more about it. I'm not really good in the legal area, but
your legal experts on to come talk about it. Maybe somebody that you know.
You
don't have to do it tomorrow. I'm just kind of playing, but the NASCAR squabbles and how they've kind of gone off the rails lately has driven me more and more to Formula One race. And I love that Formula One race, and they got the finish of it Sunday in Abu Dhabi. So it'll be cool. I'll be up at 6 a.m. Sunday kind of watching it. They go from the dusk dark into darkness. It's cool.
Wow.
I like that.
F1. Well, yeah, but I'm going to read up on it, and I'm going to, like I said, since we quit doing the NASCAR segment until early next year, I just have not followed it that closely, but I know it's a huge story, and I'll try to figure out exactly what it all means.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
Another thing. I know you used to be close with the AHSAA, Alabama High School Athletic Association.
I was at one time, you know, when I was doing a lot of their broadcasts.
Did we ever get that championship game off of Wednesday night? They looked like they had nobody there. I mean, you know, but.
Well, here's the deal, and I tell you why they probably won't. The 7A game, ideally, would be closer to the weekend. The problem is, since they don't have a 32 teams, they play one less round of playoffs. So
I know all that.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, here's the thing. When they were playing it on Saturday, they were going up against the SEC championship game, and people complained about that, and I get it, and you know, especially with Alabama being there most every year. So schedule-wise, this is just the way it works. I mean,
Hey, Gary, I got a simple solution for you.
Okay.
It's like Georgia and Texas. You move the season back 1 week, and you have them playing next week.
Well, I've been saying that for a long time. I've been saying for a long time football season should be played in the fall, and they start it too early, and they should push it back and go a little deeper into the season. But they want to start basketball up before football season's over. Then they want to start baseball and softball up before basketball season's over. This calendar for the HSAA, I've been saying this for a long time. I'm with you. Do like Georgia, do like Texas, do like some other states. Push it back, make it more reflect. You know, once again, we went through an entire high school football season without anybody ever having to wear a jacket. Now, last night, it was cold, but again, this is state championship games. But I wish they'd start the season a week later and do exactly what you're saying, but they seem to have no interest in doing that. None.
Well, those AHSAA people, they think they're some kind of communist organization or something. I know there's a lawsuit on them now. Maybe they'll bust them up and end this rigidity they do to high school athletes.
Well, no, I don't know about that. I'll say this.
Probably offended somebody.
Yeah, you need an organization to run things, because if you bust it up and you have no control, I mean, it's already getting wild in high school. You got to have an organization to see it, oversee it. But
hey,
I do
what
wish.
What was your Alabama Georgia score? I forgot.
24-21 Georgia.
I got you.
All right, Cowboy. Got to run.
All right.
Thanks, my friend. Good to hear from you. Hey, Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa, offers convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Listen, if you are fatigued, dealing with stress, not sleeping well, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. If you want boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, and stronger workouts with faster muscle recovery, then you need to get by Game Day Men's Health. Get in the game. Game Day Men's Health, 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. All right, we're going to be back with Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340 next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
$35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel. Finance agreement, 256 gigs, $830. Eligible port in a new line, $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Check out in 15 minutes or less per line. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women.
10:32. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and it's time for Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340 sports anchor, host of the EOG Wrap on Saturday nights, which is a great show, and of course joins us every Thursday here to talk a little ball. What's up, Spiegs?
Hey, Gary, how you doing today?
Doing great. We got a lot to cover, so let's dive right in. Alabama's now won 6 consecutive games against Auburn, and boy, Auburn's been through quite a few coaches in that run, both permanent and interim. But 6 in a row for the Tide. It was not easy last Saturday night. Bama up 17-0 before Auburn rallied to tie at 20-20. But Alabama gets it done with a gutsy 4th-and-2 call on the 6-yard line for a touchdown to get it 27-20. Now they go on to Atlanta for the SEC championship game and hopefully the college football playoff. But just first, your thoughts on the Iron Bowl and how that game played out last Saturday night.
Well, I mean, look, it was not technically pleasing to the eye because there were so many drop passes. There were some passes that were off target. It was It was a struggle. And I talked to some Alabama fans after the game who were like, you know, not happy with the way the team played. And they felt like, well, you know, that's great that they won, but, well, they sure didn't play very well. And my opinion is this. If I'm an Alabama fan, I'm just as happy with that win as I would be if they went in there and clocked them 34-7. Because, you know, they went on the road. They had to struggle. You know, they had to struggle to get it done. You know, but they got it done, and they made the plays. And how can you not be happy with a 15-play, 75-yard drive and going forward on fourth and two and completing the thing and just getting out of there with a win? It was a very compelling game, and it wasn't, you know, all that technically pleasing to the eye, but still, I mean, it was high drama, and I loved every minute of it.
And for Alabama and Auburn, that result dictated a lot. Let's start with the Crimson Tide. Kalen DeBoer gets to the SEC championship game, 2-0 against Auburn, more than likely in the playoff versus not being in the SEC championship game, missing the playoff for a second straight year, and possibly, according to some, on his way to Penn State. So for Alabama, that result was great for the current regime and for just the entire program and for Kalen DeBoer, because, again, I don't want to think about what it might be have been like in this town this week had Alabama lost that game.
Yeah, it would have been there would have been certainly a lot of talk, you know, for sure. And you know, the heat would have been on, as it always is, you know, after Alabama loses a game. You know, I tell you, this league is tougher than it's been, and I think it's just going to get tougher as the years go on with the NIL, with the portal, and it's really just evened things up. So, I mean, I look at the Oklahoma game, and there's still some angst about that, about how, you know, they dominated statistically, but, you know, turned the ball over, and, you know, how did they lose that game? LSU, why did they struggle in that game? Well, look, everybody's got good players. And Oklahoma had a good defense. LSU, the strength of their team is their defense. You know, we knew that. So, you know, just the fact that, you know, you're in the SEC championship game and you have survived the wars, you know, up to this point, I think, you know, as an Alabama fan, you should be tickled to death with the way things have gone so far.
And on the other side, I don't know, Jeff, maybe you can bring some clarity to it. It appears that John Sumrall could have had the Auburn job. He didn't sign off on some requirements from what I've read that we're asking of him staff-wise. And then based on Alex Golish saying he got offered the job 1 o'clock Sunday morning, you wonder if DJ Durkin had won that Iron Bowl, if he would be the head coach. But it did turn out to be Alex Golish. So kind of take us through the timeline and how Golish, who last week at this time looked like he was ticketed for Arkansas, wound up as the Auburn head coach.
Well, I think Sumrall weighed his options, and quite frankly, the Florida job is better than the Auburn job, you know, right now. And you know, while I don't think DJ Durkin was really ever seriously in the mix.
Okay.
I mean, you heard that he was in the mix, but I think they were looking for, you know, for someone, you know, for someone else. And every short list that I saw for any opening in America had Alex Golish's name on it. This guy's done a really good job. Gary, before he got to South Florida, they went through a three-year stretch where they were 4-29. They were 1-11 the year before he got there. And then he reels off a 7-6, a 7-6, a 9-3. You know, Alabama struggled down there in that game. They did. And then if people forget, when they played South Florida in Tuscaloosa, it was a 14-13 game after the third quarter. That game was very much in doubt before Alabama scored 28 in the fourth and pulled away. So this guy's done a good job, you know, at South Florida. He, you know, built that program into respectability. And the Auburn fans, I think, are very optimistic that, you know, there's some that are taking a wait-and-see attitude because they don't really know this guy very well. But there are many who think that, you know, this is a guy who can, you know, who can get it done, and they swung and missed on two hires. In my opinion, swung and missed badly on two hires. So the hope is that they got this one right.
Yeah, we will see. Now let's look ahead to the SEC championship game. I know Alabama fans are hanging their hopes on the fact that they own Georgia, and they do. 10 of the last 11, Kirby's 1-7 against Alabama. That one win was for a national championship, but they beat them earlier this year in Athens, 24-21. Georgia fans, I know, despite the bravado of, hey, we you know, we're ready, they're nervous too. But, you know, it is in Atlanta. It is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I know Alabama will have a strong fan contingent there, but it's like a home game for Georgia. They just played there last week against Georgia Tech. You know, Kirby has been, in that program, they've been so good and so dominant. It just doesn't make sense. As good as Alabama's been, that one team could, it seems like nobody in the SEC, nobody else can beat Georgia. That was the case again this year. I mean, they're 7-0 against everybody else. I don't know, though, that how much that matters now. I mean, Saturday afternoon, Alabama's extremely banged up. LT Overton is out. Maybe they're best defensive lineman. We don't know if Jam Miller is going to play. I mean, that injury list. I know Georgia's got some injuries, too. Bobo, the center, is out. But, I just kind of look, if I take off, you know, the fact that I cover Alabama and look at this thing objectively, I mean, I'm favoring Georgia in this game, Jeff. What about you?
Well, you know, every time Alabama and Georgia play, you know, I want to favor Georgia, you know, because, I mean, you look at them on paper and you go, well, you know, Georgia's a little better, you know, but, man, once the game starts and then when the game ends, Who's on the right end of the scoreboard? I mean, more times than not, you know, it's Alabama. So, you know, as has been said many times before, I mean, Kirby Smart's got an Alabama problem. You know, he can't get over that Alabama hump, with the exception, you know, of that victory in the national championship game, which, you know, Georgia fans are, you know, cherish that victory, certainly. But I think Georgia fans would be, you know, extremely happy if Kirby could start beating Alabama a little bit more, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for Georgia, because I really think once the calendar flipped to November, I mean, Georgia put it in another gear. And I think they're just playing extremely well. And I know they struggled to score against Georgia Tech, but, you know, I look at those rivalry games and, you know, I cut some teams some slack, you know, on how those things go. And I think it's going to be just a terrific football game, and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And let me ask you this, Jeff, million-dollar question. Alabama moved up ahead of Notre Dame in the latest rankings. Obviously, if Alabama wins, they're more than likely not only going to be in the college football playoff, but receive the bye. If they lose, do you think they're in the college football playoff?
Well, it depends on how bad they lose, Gary. I mean, if it's a really close game and it's a competitive game, I think Alabama stays in. If it's clear that Georgia is the dominant team over Alabama, let's say they beat them by, you know, 21 or more, then I think Alabama fans have reason to be nervous, you know, come Sunday morning. I don't expect it to be that way. I expect it to be a really, really close game. And, you know, both teams will get in. Certainly, you know, if Alabama wins, worst case scenario, they're going to be hosting a first round game. But best case scenario, as you mentioned, you know, they could get that first round bye.
Yeah, the way I see it, Jeff, if they win, they're going to get a bye. I don't see how you're going to take the SEC.
You feel confident about that?
Yeah, if they win that game, they're going to get a bye. Yeah, yeah, I don't see any other way around it. And if they lose, if they get in, they're going to play on the road. I just don't see a home game shaping up. But we'll see. But I that's just kind of the way I view it. All right, let's go back around the world a little bit on this coaching situation. Six SEC schools have new head coaches today that they didn't have on Saturday. It's crazy. Of course, Kiffin going from Ole Miss to LSU. You got Stein going to Kentucky, who, you know, what, 35 years old, and 6 years ago, less than 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, was an assistant coach at a high school in Texas. It's crazy with these coaching hires. But just your thought process on the turnover, the pressure to win, the money that these guys make, what it's created. You know, six guys hired. I bet you in 3 years, half these guys won't have the jobs they have now, not to mention the fact that there are guys coaching that, you know, Kirby Smart's the longest tenured coach in this league after Stoops is out. It's just, it's nuts what's going on. Your thoughts on all of the coaching carousel that we've been through.
Well, it's funny, heading into SEC Media Days last in July, we were talking about how there had been no turnover. And I think we had discussed on this show that that's certainly not going to be the case, you know, after the year was out. And we had made some, you know, predictions probably that who would be the first to go, and Brian Kelly's name may have been mentioned and all that. But you're right. I mean, it's been crazy. And, you know, if you grade the hires, who made the best hire, Gary? Is it clear to you that LSU made the best hire by getting Kiffin? Are you a Lane Kiffin guy?
Well, I say this. I think he is the best coach by far of any of them that were hired. I do. I think he's the elite play caller in the country. I think what he's able to do with quarterbacks. So I get it. Now, is he the best hire overall because of the pressure that he's going to be under at LSU? Say what you want. They're not bringing him in there for this to be a process or a rebuild. They're going to want to win next year. And so I think the pressure for him is at a different level, but I do think he's by far the best coach of any of these six that were hired in the SEC. Who would you put ahead of him? I mean, I like John Summerall, but I'm not putting him on the level of Lane Kiffin.
No, I wouldn't put anyone ahead of that job. I do think it's so interesting. But by the way, that whole Ole Miss to LSU thing, everywhere I went, there were people talking about that. You know, it was the most talked about thing I've ever seen in college football, like what he was going to do. I went to the Clay Chalkboard signing day ceremony yesterday and talked to Corey Barber. And if you thought that that Lane Kiffin was going through some angst, Barber said, I didn't know. I mean, it was really stressful, you know, what all those recruits had to go through. And then, of course, he flipped from Ole Miss to LSU, which was, you know, very predictable because he's a Lane guy. But I think I don't know what percentage of people are rooting for him to fail and what percentage of people are rooting for him to win outside of the state of Louisiana. I mean, what do you think the percentage would be?
Hardly anybody outside of the state of Louisiana. And it's just crazy that you walk away from an 11-1 team. Here's the thing, Jeff, while we got a minute here on this. I understand the lure of LSU, the money, everything else. But I know this, as I've said to share with some people, Brett Brewer is one of my best friends, Coach Billy Brewer's son. So he still has a lot of him, you know, is around that program. You can't treat a coach any better than Ole Miss traded Lane Kiffin. Everything he asked for, he got. Without any requirements other than go coach the team. You know, didn't have to meet with alumni groups, didn't have to really host former players. I mean, strictly got to focus on coaching and winning and making a lot of money. They put a great NIL program in place with him, for him, with Walker Jones and AD Keith Carter. And he walked away from all that, Jeff. So, you know, we'll see how it turns out. And I guarantee you this, all that he's getting at LSU is impressive, but they won't be as nice to him if he doesn't live up to expectations as they have been at Ole Miss. Not that he hasn't lived up to expectations, but you know what I'm saying. You can't get a better situation than what he had at Ole Miss, in my opinion.
Joe Burrow's take on it yesterday was hilarious. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
They asked him about, you know, what he thought about, you know, Kiffin going to LSU. And I don't know what they expected Joe to say, because, you know, you never really can tell with him. But he paused for a long time and he goes, well, he's a good coach, you know, and, you know, those are my thoughts. And then he wanted, I don't know if he really didn't know the answer to this question, but he said, they asked him, they said, well, how do you feel about him leaving the team as Ole Miss before Ole Miss is going to the playoff and not coaching? He goes, Ole Miss is going to the playoff and he's not going to be coaching his team? Well, that's not an ideal situation, you know. And are any of his staff going to be coaching? Well, that's not an ideal situation, he kept on saying. So I think, you know, you look at it from, you know, from LSU's perspective, and Lane Kiffin could have made a power play, and he could have said, hey, look, man, I'm not going there. Until, you know, I get this team through the playoff. Well, that's not the way the calendar's built. You know, LSU could not wait on him to do that.
That's right.
And I can't blame Keith Carter either, because, you know, my opinion is, you know, you're either working for me or you're not.
That's right.
you know. And you know, if you're not working for me, then go work for them, you know. And so I think there are a lot of people out there rooting for Ole Miss to go ahead and get this done and win. I don't think they're expecting them to beat Ohio State, you know, or win the national championship. But I think there are a lot of fans out there who are rooting for Ole Miss to win at least one game in this thing. I think a lot of people would like to see that.
I do too. All right, real quickly, Samford hires John Gross. Your thoughts on that hire?
Yeah, well, John did a really good job at Jack State, and Jack State decided when they went up to the next level that they were going to part ways with him and go with Rich Rod. And I think, you know, that disappointed John greatly, but, you know, he kind of moved on from there. He's got a press conference today at 1, and I think he's going to be absolutely giddy about having the opportunity to be a head coach once again. And I just wish him nothing but the best. He's a good guy.
I'd like to see Alex Mortensen get hired at UAB. I really like that guy. But it appears they've zeroed in on Steve Englehart from Presbyterian. Is that right? What's the latest there with UAB?
Yeah, I've heard that. And you know, I would have liked for Alex to get a shot at that. I don't know. Listen, it's a big mess there. And I don't know. I mean, this guy may be good. The next hire may be good. But I don't understand how Mark Ingram is staying employed there as the athletic director after everything that has happened and just the way everything, you know, has been handled. And I don't know. But apparently they're moving on and zeroing in on this guy. And I don't see a lot of optimism from the fan base, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Jeff, SEC championship game Saturday afternoon on ABC. So I know that the EOG wrap that night will be jam-packed on ABC 33-40.
And listen, there will be a lot of eyeballs on that Virginia-Duke game, too, Gary. 7 o'clock primetime, the ACC championship game. Let's see who comes out of that league. Or let's see if the ACC has a representative at all. So a lot of drama in that one, too. But we'll be on the EOG wrap right after to wrap everything up.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
All right, we're going to come back and wrap up this show. We got a couple phone callers. If you're still on the line, Bryce and Jeff, we'll get to you.
Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after
of the Crimson Tide. Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
State. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy today with a chance of some scattered light rain, the high 48. For tonight, periods of rain with the low at 38. Tomorrow, rain ending early in the day, but the clouds will linger, the high 51. Saturday, a small chance of some light rain, the high 52. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 44 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Santa baby, just slip a
All right, 10:54, holiday-themed music. We love it here on the Gary Harris Show. We got a couple phone calls to get to. Jeff's been on the hold the longest, so we'll start with him up in Tennessee, then we'll squeeze Bryce in. Hey, Jeff.
I just want to say, y'all talk about the SEC championship game. I think if Alabama, they were talking about yesterday, if they get blown out, I think if Alabama loses, they're out. Okay, Texas, I'm tired of hearing it. Who they beat, they've got 3 losses stuff. I'm tired of it. Okay, I don't care if they beat Texas, they hit 10 times. They're out of it. They've got 3 losses. That's the way it is. That's the system we've got. We don't need to be putting seven in the ACC. That's their deal. They want to put Duke in the championship game. I mean, that's their thing. But as far as to me, Alabama has to win to get in. I don't care what ranking they are. I mean, you know, Georgia wins or Georgia loses, they'll probably drop some. What are they, four now? What are they? Are they going to play or they drop? I mean, the top 12. I mean, the SEC don't even want automatic bids of any kind. Are you for that? Do you want to? Don't have any automatic bids? You think they should do it that way?
Well, yeah, I'd like to have a 16-team playoff, no automatic bids, no conference championship games, and go see them 1 through 16 home games on the first round, 8 home games on campus, and then. But that's not going to happen.
They don't want to get. Well, most leagues would be getting rid. But and also the thing about Stoops, I'm still ticked about it. I think Barnhart treated him like dirt. I'm not worried about it right now. But if I was president, the Stoops and Barnhart would both be gone right now. I mean, he's had 3 strikes. He hired Phillips, had to fire him, Joker Phillips. He hired Billy Gillespie for basketball, had to fire him, and now he fired Stoops to winning his coach 13 seasons.
Yeah.
Winning his coaching. That's 3 strikes, and you're out. I hope he leaves Skinner alone. They start today, volleyball term, leave him alone, and don't let him see if he can win a championship in Kansas City. But no, if Alabama loses, they're out, in my opinion.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. All right, let's close it out with Bryce here in our last couple of minutes. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, boy, I'm really surprised that Jeff was rooting for Alabama like that. It surprised me at all. He needs to quit worrying about Alabama football, worry about Kentucky basketball. I don't know if they've won 2 games, the whole deal, have they? It's pretty bad over there, you know?
Yeah, I think they've won more than 2. But go ahead, Rice, what's up?
Well, I got better things to talk about than Jeff. I think we look at the game this way. First of all, Hess goes off to that great win to Alabama basketball last night. They gutted it out. They're shorthanded to start with. They come back. They could have laid down when Clemson come back, but they grinded it out and they got a win. A great win last night.
I agree.
Well, I look at it this way. I think between Alabama and Georgia, we've got the better quarterback, and I think our defense is better. And coach, they may have the edge on because they got Kirby Smart, you know. So until they beat them, I'm picking Alabama.
I hear you. Hey, listen.
They got to beat them.
There's nothing. Hey, listen. There's nothing wrong with that reasoning at all, Bryce. I see where you're coming from. Like I said, I'm picking Georgia because I think Georgia's going to win. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me if Alabama made me into a liar again. So, and I hope they do.
Well, it's just that, as long as Mercedes Saban Field East, we haven't lost there. So I look at that as a plus also, you know.
Well, did lose there one time, lost to Florida in 2008. But, yeah, you're right.
No, not in this new building.
Oh, you mean in the new stadium. Okay, yeah. Well, they didn't lose much at the Georgia Dome either, to be honest with you. But you're right, hadn't lost at all Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So good call, good catch.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep, you did.
That's
you
why
did.
I said Mercedes-Benz.
Yep, you did. Yeah. You did. You got it. So maybe they'll stay. Hey, listen, the good thing about it is, man, if they win that game, they're going to be hoisting a trophy down on that stage, and I'll be there to see it. So looking forward to it. Thanks, Bryce.
Real quick, one time. High school Alabama football, it's in Birmingham this year?
Yeah, Protective Stadium. Played the 7A game last night, 3 more games today, and then 3 more games tomorrow.
So no more games.
Well, they're going to play. Yeah, Alabama and Auburn are out now because of the playoff and the chance to. So it's going to be Birmingham and Mobile.
They could play it down Auburn every year because they ain't got to worry about them going to playoff.
All right, brother. All right, thank you, Bryce. Hey, man, listen, we got to get out of here. Good show today. Thanks, Chase. Appreciate Alabama Credit Union, all our great sponsors. Lunch is right around the corner. Why don't you try out Rock and Roll Sushi? They got some terrific lunch specials right there on University Boulevard in downtown Tuscaloosa. Miller's Edge is coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
listening to the